from Children's Hospital providing a presentation on the new Central City Health Initiative in Metcalf Park, Lindsay Heights, and Franklin Heights. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Okay. Good morning, and thank you very much for bearing with us this morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Supervisors. Thank you for this opportunity and time. I am Bob Duncan, Executive Vice President for Children's Hospital and Health System. And with me, I have Dr. Veronica Gunn, who serves as the Medical Director for our Community Services Program. Let me... Today, we'd like to share with you some of the efforts that are taking place within Milwaukee County, particularly in the inner city of Milwaukee. In 2009 and early 2010, our health system, along with our board, went through a strategic planning process to lay out the plans for the next 10 to 15 years of what the Children's Hospital would look like and our efforts that would take place. And with that came a vision to create the healthiest kids in the country for the state of Wisconsin. And to do that, we had three programs. That's like national programs, such as our heart program, become the Midwest leading provider, but more importantly, is to improve the health status of children in Wisconsin. And we'll do that through our people, service, quality, finance, our information management, and electronic health record. To start down that process, we, one, have to understand what it is that impacts health. As a health system, we're really great at taking care of episodic events, whether it's pneumonia, broken arms, chronic disease. But the reality is when you look at trying to impact the health status of a child or an adult, that only amounts to about 10%. The rest being genetic behaviors, social environment, and behavior changes themselves. And to do that, our approach is to look at the ecology of a child, not looking at addressing the child and their issues alone, but looking at the impact that the family or guardians have, the impact that the neighborhood has on their lives, and the impact of school, preschool, and after school, knowing that they're all risk factors involved. If you address only one area, say the child themselves, but don't take into account the issues that the family's got or the situation in the neighborhood that it's not safe to go out at night or safe in the afternoon to exercise, then dealing with something like obesity becomes extremely difficult.
And as you've heard Mr. Duncan say, that the influences on health outcomes are quite vast. And recent studies have shown the impact of these influences help to explain differences that occur over generations, in fact. That slide is called the Life Course Perspective. And what it seeks to point out is that two individual populations at one time, let's say conception, for example, have the same potential for achievement. But one population that's exposed to poor nutrition, stress, racism, abuse, and many of these other factors, by the time that population achieves birth, let alone later adulthood, they have a lesser potential for achievement. Now, of course, this is a population-based model. We all know individuals who have overcome great odds. But based on this population model, it helps to explain many of the differences between outcomes among racial groups, in particular, if you hit that one more time, point above, in particular, racial differences between health outcomes among blacks and white populations, even after controlling for many of those other factors, like economic status, like educational attainment. Given this information, given this science, our approach is one that's based on evidence-based principles. And that is, evidence shows that successful programs address individualized needs from a strengths-based approach. From children's perspective, we'll be building parenting knowledge and skills. We'll offer a continuum of services, and we'll provide a full array of concrete family resources. And this will be delivered in a culturally and linguistically competent manner. The implications of influences on health of a population include policy influences. And by this we mean policies that happen at the individual organization level or within communities or perhaps even at the level of counties or states. Such policies have influences and implications for quality health care, for social and environmental influences such as the built environment, for behavior in particular with regard to health education and healthy communities. The guiding principles of our initiative, I think, are critical, and these are the ones to which we will be held. We're going to be guided by evidence-based practice, what we will do and what we will facilitate and within the communities will be evidence-based when available or evidence-informed. We will work within that ecology model and build initiatives based on family strengths. It will be culturally and linguistically competent. We will measure our outcomes. We are, as are all of our community partners, eager to pursue things that we know and can demonstrate are achieving an outcome. We will consider sustainability in the priority setting itself. Many of our communities and many of us have the experience of initiating a program that has some success, but the funding runs out or the champion leaves, and then the effort fails. So we build sustainability in from the very beginning. And most importantly, this is empowering the community to initiate and drive change.
In what communities are we discussing? What Children's has done is taken a very focused approach looking at the highest priorities of needs. At the same time, also looking at strengths that are there in the community, as Dr. Gunn suggested. So priority areas are Metcalf Park with the Next Door Center, the COA Godin Center, which is located in Franklin Heights, and then the Lindsay Heights area with the YMCA and the Walnut Way Group. And we currently have, in partnership with the Milwaukee College of Medicine, the Downtown Health Center right on the fringe of this area. So we'll be taking this approach, this ecology and the guiding principles, and working in collaboration with partnerships with entities like this and others in the community. And this is kind of an overview of the land. Currently, that's 29th Street, Clark, and 30th. The current Next Door Foundation, the area in red and white, is this facility that will open in mid-May. You should be receiving invitations soon. And this will be a dental health and medical primary care clinic for children in the Metcalf Park area.
Did you say mental, dental, and health?
We were creating a health home for the residents of the neighborhood. We'll also provide some parenting resources and other things that are deemed necessary by the community and the residents themselves.
I wanted to give you a brief overview of the approach to this community engagement. This is a very high-level overview of the steps that we have initiated thus far. Importantly, that this is early in the process. We have held a series of meetings with community residents, as well as a series of meetings with community organizations that have been engaged in those neighborhoods for years. Those have been formatted in the structure of a community cafe. And then we've held feedback sessions with all three of those neighborhoods. We are in the midst now of working with existing community structures. So, for example, within the Lindsay Heights area, they have a very well-formed community group in partnership with Walnut Way. And so we will be joining within that partnership. In other neighborhoods where they're not quite as structured, we are helping to facilitate some leadership development within the neighborhood residents themselves. They then will be empowered to establish with those communities the community priorities, and we'll facilitate applying evidence there. This will be done in a systematic way. This is, I apologize for the lingo here, but this is a plan, do, study, act cycle. In the next slide. This is one example of how you put this together so you are not paralyzed by analysis. You plan. So in this example, we spoke with the community. We solicited input on their goals, needs, challenges, and assets. You do. In this scenario, we conducted community cafes and engaged a broad stakeholder representation. Study in this sense means, did we do what we had thought we were doing? So we reviewed the process that we used to engage the community. Did we have the right people around the table? And we reviewed the results of those cafes with the community itself. And then we act, which means we take what we learned from the community, hand to the community, and facilitate them in the process of developing priorities. Mm-hmm. And we will go through the same process when priorities are identified by the community to implement change along those priority lines. So thank you for the opportunity to share this very, very high-level overview with you all, and certainly we'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Supervisor Dmitrievich?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess I have two questions. One, I was just interested in the community conversations that you had, perhaps like what were the top one or two issues, you know, I don't know, for example, was it diabetes or something? I mean, whatever. And the other thing is, how is this being funded? Or how are people paying for all these wonderful services? I'm sure that's an obstacle you're finding, too. So it seems, I mean, just from the presentation, I think I can infer that it's through a lot of generosity, but I'm not sure exactly how that's working.
Right. Do you want me to take that?
Yeah, I'll start with
that. Thank you for those questions. That the two things. The feedback from all three of these very unique communities mm-hmm. within the community cafe process was interesting, not very surprising from our experience, though. The question posed to communities is, what does a healthy community look like to mm-hmm. you? And by and large, the top 8-10 responses had nothing whatsoever to do with the delivery of health care.
Oh.
They had to do with people outside talking to one another, children playing, mm-hmm. Fewer boarded up homes, less violence, which is consistent with what the science says influences health, right? Wow. So those environmental influences mm-hmm. on health behavior certainly have a huge impact on health outcomes. So that is consistent with what we know to be so. For the communities that have started to explore, well, what health needs are there? Mm-hmm. They have identified needs for adult health care services and needs for mental and behavioral health services for the entire family unit. With regard to how does one pay for this, mm-hmm. It's an excellent question. Right now, what Children's has done is committed to the process, to being engaged in a very different way than we have been historically, and bringing to resources to bear that we have to bear. Now, the reason for choosing these three communities is, while they have many needs, they are not asset poor. There are many, many community agencies and partners that exist there that have been there for some period of time. Mm-hmm. What this effort does is seek to bring them together in a collaborative fashion, mm-hmm. which enhances the impact rather than having parallel tracks or individual tracks. This is a collective impact of a much larger collaborative than a single effort by a single entity. And I hope I answered that question for you.
Well, it sounds like as if there's some existing resources out there that you're just trying to pool together. But I guess I don't know. I think that's one of the biggest barriers is trying to fund some of the basic health care. It sounds like a wonderful thing that you're doing. I'm just trying to see how that's all going to connect on the the services.
A couple of different things on the reimbursement piece. Part of it is, you're right, the resources we're bringing to bear, both from the children and working with our other partners, and trying to do that in a very efficient manner. The reality is, it's going to require more dollars. So behind that, we have philanthropic support that mm-hmm. we're seeking. At the same time, on this national scale, we have this whole issue around health care, and some mm-hmm. of you debated, had a resolution on some of the things taking place now. The reality is, as a country and as a system, our health care system doesn't work. It's broken, mm-hmm. and particularly in the financing terms. And so we look at it as a way to model prevention and health mm-hmm. and work towards payment reform methodology so that we're on the front side of seeing what works and how we can manage health in a more efficient and cost-efficient manner.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Supervisor Rice?
That's a perfect segue to the question I was going to ask, just in terms of the economics in a broader sense of the service delivery model and the community-based approach that you're taking here. Your comment suggested that at the outset that it is more expensive to provide these kinds of services, but do you plan on going forward doing some tracking of outcomes or tracking of costs so that we can have some data that would identify for us what the benefits are of this approach over a more traditional kind of a non-preventative model?
Yes, sir, we are. That's the plans. As Dr. Gunn mentioned earlier, we'll measure all the outcomes, both in health indicators, where we're improving health status, but also measure the impact. And I'll use, for example, asthma. Asthma is the leading hospitalization, leading ED visit. With the plans that we're putting in place, if this comes out of the community as something that they need is asthma care and case management. Financially, we hurt our health system under the current reimbursement model. But is it the right thing to do to prevent a child from showing up in your ED and being hospitalized over asthma? Yes, you bet you it is. So working with our system, making changes there, and working with payers, including the state, on looking at a better way of spending less dollars on prevention, now we think that we can have the data at the end of the day to show that this is a better model of healthcare.
Thank you. It's an exciting presentation, and I appreciate you both coming down. The other question that I had, Dr. Gunn, you touched on in your comments sort of the role that policymakers might play going forward. And I'd invite your comments or suggestions either now or going forward. Obviously, in this kind of fiscal environment, we don't have the luxury of the kinds of funding that we might like to devote to these kinds of programs, but is there any sort of, for lack of a better term, low-hanging fruit that government officials can avail themselves of to address short-term problems?
Absolutely, and I appreciate that question, Supervisor Rice. And also, I'll share with you that I am 3 months now in my Wisconsin residency. I moved here from Tennessee, where I worked for state government in this very area. So I am very sensitive to and cognizant of the challenges of financing many of these initiatives, which have been demonstrated, as we said, one of our guiding policies is being evidence-based. So we know from the literature that cost savings or cost avoidance in many cases will result. But the low-hanging fruit now, particularly as you point out, in this particular time, one thing that every policy-making entity at the county level, at the organizational level, can do is take into consideration what does this decision have from an impact standpoint on a health outcome. Mm-hmm. And it's not a typical question that's asked in many forms. This committee obviously asks it frequently, but within every committee, for example, decisions around road placement has a health impact, has a potential implication for health, and if policymaking bodies simply ask that question, it will help influence and inform policy making such that it will have long-term implications on health without a single dollar spent.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Supervisor Lipscott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you address what is the highlighted area on the map versus the outlined area?
Sure. The highlighted area is that incorporates, for instance, number one is the Metcalf Park. Number two area is the Franklin Heights area. And number three is Lindsay Heights. They're all within a mile of each other, but they're all three distinct neighborhoods that, for instance, with Metcalf Park and the next door pediatric center, folks from Lindsay Heights and Franklin Heights, and that's less than a mile away, aren't engaged in that medical facility or know that it's there and doing so. What we did is we highlighted, and this is a Google map, so the only highlighting that I did was the blue lines, which show the distinct Franklin Heights, Metcalf, and Lindsay Heights. And the yellow, or the clear shade, is just kind of a focus where we're putting all three of them together.
It's also an acknowledgement, Supervisor Lipscomb, that within the distinct geographic footprint that may be called Lindsay Heights, for example, that residents from slightly outside those borders come and avail themselves of services in that area. So that's why the larger shaded area.
So the larger shaded area is what you intend to serve, but the blue is sort of where you have an established partnership?
Correct.
Okay, well that makes me happy because I represent the larger shaded portions of the larger shaded area, but not much of it. I would just acknowledge that Supervisor Lex Fiddle is in the room and he represents a larger portion of sections 2 and 3. So I wish to connect with him.
Very good.
I suspect that he's very interested in that. So. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd be interested in more information is available in the standard procedure. Thank you.
Certainly. All right. Thank you very much for being here today, and thank you for all of the good work that you're doing and continue to do in the community. It's just wonderful. I'm one of the biggest cheerleaders for Project Ujima. I think that's just, it's just so, so wonderful. I can't tell you how much admiration I have for that project. Absolutely love it. So thank you so much. Continue the good work.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We're happy to have you join us and for your patience today.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
All right. Moving.